Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Question: what has God done for mankind and you personally? And that God has done such great and fantastic things, as we will see. That's why He is God. Now, in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, we find some very important information concerning God and concerning Jesus Christ, who is also called the Word. And in Greek, that is Hologos. So let's come to John, the first chapter, verse 1. In the beginning. Now, we'll go back and look at the beginning in just a bit and see everything that God did for all of mankind from that time down through whenever human life is going to come to an end when God's plan is fulfilled. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Little sidebar here. That tells you that there are two gods. Now, if you believe in a Trinity, you believe in something that's not true. The Bible nowhere shows that there are three gods. Only two. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, now you might want to circle all things came into being through Him, because He spoke, and it was. And not even one thing that was created came into being without Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That is, giving you life so that you are a human, that you are what people like today call a person. So let's come back to the first chapter in Genesis, because this is where it refers to. And God has made everything that there is. We'll see that from some other references in just a bit. So in setting up the world for mankind, God had to reform the earth and take away the flood that was covering the earth. We find that in verse 2. Verse 3, and God said there was light, and there was light. Now think about that. Do we not need light day and night? Yes, indeed. And even today, look what we have because of what God has created, the ability for electricity and lights. And that makes this video presentation possible. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided between the light and the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. And then He separated the waters on the earth with the waters above the earth. Now, the firmament could be translated an expanse. And what do we find in water above the earth? Clouds filled with mammoth amounts of water. So then God made the dry land. He caused the dry land to come up out from under the waters, and we have dry land. And He called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And then God created everything in the way of vegetation on the earth. And that includes everything like forest or down to the smallest microbe in the soil, which causes things to grow, plants, flowers, grains, everything that there is in plant life. Some mammoth trees and some microscopic moths. All that God created. And then on the fourth day, He set the sun, moon, and stars in a position so that we have calculated time. We have day, we have night, we have seasons, and all of that. God created it. And that's all done by coordinating the sun, the moon, and the earth, and the stars. Then he said, on the next day, day five, everything that is living in the waters. And that's a fantastic thing if you've seen any specials on what kind of life is in the waters. And he made all of this for man. And then on the sixth day, he brought forth all the living creatures of every kind. Livestock, creeping things, beast of the earth, each after its kind, and it was so. And everything was made so that it would reproduce itself. And that is a fantastic thing, because God has given to all of mankind, every man and woman, but together to reproduce themselves. So that's an amazing thing to understand. And God in his great love has given this to all people, regardless of where they are on the earth. And he made us male and female. And what else he did was this. He gave to mankind, beginning with Adam and Eve, all the earth as a gift, a place to live, plants that would bring forth food, ground that would bring forth food, water, all of the things that we need for life, oxygen, air, everything. God has done that for every human being. Wherever you go on the earth, all humans breathe, right? And they eat, and they drink, and little do they know it. But their whole lives are sustained by God. And that's an amazing thing itself. Genesis 1, down here in verse 28, God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of heaven, over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now that's quite a fantastic blessing, wouldn't you say? Now, because some men think that everything evolved, let's come here to the 40th chapter of Isaiah and let's see what God says to all of those who would say that life evolved. And if you write for our booklets on it, God or No God, and Geology, Catastrophism, and the Scriptures, that will show you clearly that evolution is impossible, see? And that human beings are special, because human beings have been made in the image and the likeness of God. Now think about that for a minute. All human beings, going back as far as you want to go and forward to as far as God's plan goes, all made in the image and the likeness of God. And yet God has given free moral agency, independent free moral agency, so that we can think, we can choose, we can do, we can use the earth and everything. We'll see that in a minute. But men, when they get all caught up in their own vanity and their own thoughts, they leave out what God has done for them. So here in Isaiah 40, God challenges them. He challenges them to produce their evidence. Verse 12, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heavens with a span?" Now think about that. God commanded, whoo, and the stars and the galaxies were created. and who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance. Now notice this, for those who think that they don't need God, and for those who think that they're just evolution, God says this, with whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and made known the way of understanding to him? No man has, because God is God. Now, human potential is fantastic, and we'll see that in just a little bit. But look at what God has done and given and provided for every human being. Now, continuing. Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, God, the Creator, sits upon the circle of the earth. Little sidebar, this tells us they knew the earth was round. Because you can't have the circle of the earth without it being round. And his people are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Now that's quite an amazing thing to consider, isn't it? And God has made all of that. And it reflects back to what he's doing for human beings. Because God has a fantastic plan. Now, we'll cover that in just a bit. Verse 25, to whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Is it to philosophers who created the vanities of the religions of this world? Is it even Satan the devil who is still on this earth causing great trouble with mankind? And who pretends to be God and has deceived billions of people. You can't even compare God to that. To what man? Notice verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, and not one fails. Now that's something to think and contemplate, isn't it? Because one of the first things that God wants men to do is to choose him and his way. But men, as we will see, want to go on their own way. And to do so without God. And yet, God sustains their life, gives them everything for living. Verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom? So that's something to really understand. Now, let's look at another scripture in the New Testament which shows and proves exactly what we're talking about. Because God created all things and sustains all things and human beings for the very purpose of his plan. And that's why you need our book called God's Plan for Mankind Revealed by His Sabbath and His Holy Days. Now, that may sound a little shocking to you, but you need to understand that the holidays of this world are not of God. They are all the figment of the imagination of men and celebration of men.
Oh, hi! Happy Halloween! You know what? Halloween is a very special day because every time it's Halloween, there's only 55 more days until Christmas. The elves and I were working so hard, but I wanted to take a minute and I wanted to wish you a happy Halloween and say have fun trick-or-treating and also do one more thing. Be sure to go to SayHelloSanta.com and schedule your video call and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.
So after Paul was talking to the great philosophers there in Athens, and they were worshiping an unknown god, so he says, I've come to you to tell you about this unknown god that you know nothing about. And by the way, a little sidebar here, most of those philosophers believed in evolution.
The theory of evolution is just one more example of paganism and atheism overtaking the core foundations of Christianity. Evolution is not a new concept, and even the gradual ascent to higher complexity from microorganisms was a structured part of ancient Greek philosophy. As Arabic logic and reasoning began to propagate, the Greek origin theories consequently faded from view. The pendulum began to swing back toward the ancient view of evolution in the mid-1800s, during which Darwin spent years on a ship writing of his naturalistic observations. His seminal work on the origin of species included a classic bait-and-switch tactic that worked phenomenally. He would expound on the observable interspecies change that empirical science supports, and then follow with the idea that a species could also evolve into an entirely different species. He portrayed the preposterous idea of Aristotelian evolution in a light that would be accepted by his scientific peers. To believe in the ancient Greek myth of evolution requires a giant leap of faith.
You think on that for a while. Acts 17, verse 24. He is the God who made the world and all things that are in it, being Lord of heaven and earth. See, because if people defy God, they may get away with it for a while. But sooner or later, something happens.
But unlike many LGBTQ people coming out to someone they love, I know I'm coming out in a safe space. That even here, that I'm here with people who will not judge me. Especially here, as an atheist, we live in a society that tells us in attitudes, in law, in practice, that a belief in a higher power is necessary in order to be a good person, a moral person, an ethical person, a real person, someone worthy of respect and protection, worthy of rights. I'm an atheist. I'm gay. I'm a man who happens to be gay and an atheist. And I'm tired of the closet.
He does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he served by the hands of men, as though he needs anything. For he gives to all life and breath and all things. Everything you need to live, wherever you may be on the earth, and even in the desert, he's given oases for water and for the production of food. And he is made of one blood, all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined beforehand their appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling places. Now here is what God wants people to do. And we will look back and see this is why he has created us. Because he has a great plan for all of mankind. For in him we live and move and have our being. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Everything you do, God has made all of that possible. Now, let's come to Psalm 139. This is quite a psalm because this helps us understand what God has done for mankind, and then this will help us understand more what God wants us to do, which then will again reveal more of what God wants to do for you. Now think about this. just a little sidebar. God says that in a judgment day, he's going to judge the secrets of every person. Which tells you God knows precisely how he made you, but he's given you independent free moral agency. So you need to choose. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and have known me. You know my sitting down, you know my rising up, you understand my thoughts from afar. In him we live and move and have our being. You measure my going about, my lying down, you're acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my mouth, but lo, Lord, you know it altogether. And God knows the thoughts of human beings, that they are vain. Especially when they leave God. You have enclosed me behind and in front, and you've laid your hands on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. So God has made all human beings to live and move in a certain way. Where shall I go from your spirit, and where shall I flee from your presence? If I go into heaven, you're there. If I made my bed in a grave, behold, you're there. And that is all by the power of God's Spirit. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the furthest part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me shall be night. Even the darkness does not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, as is the darkness, so is the light to you. Then he talks about how he was created in his mother's womb. And all of us were. See, at the instant of conception, that's you and every human being. And that's why abortion is murder. Now, verse 13, for you have possessed my reins. Now, that is a spiritual means of knowing the heart and the thoughts of any person God desires to know. You have knit me together in my mother's womb, everything by number. I will praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous, and my soul knows it very well. Now notice verse 15, because this is very scientific and up-to-date even right today in the procreation of human beings. My substance. Now that's what the newly conceived life is called, because it has to grow and develop according to the way that God designed it to grow and develop in the womb. And by the way, that new life is a separate body from the mother, though within the mother. My substance was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and intricately formed in the lowest parts of the earth. Now, that's just a simile for the womb. Verse 16, your eyes did see my substance yet unformed, and in your book all my members were written. That's called today the genome. All the genes and chromosomes fall into sequence to create a new life. Now, that is a fantastic thing that God has done for all people. No respecter of one person over another, one race over another. That is the very love of God expressed to all people at all times down through all generations. So it says, and in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, yet when there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Now that's an amazing thing. So here comes a newborn life. And a newborn baby knows nothing except how to nurse. And is completely helpless and is dependent upon its mother and, of course, the father to provide everything so the mother can take care of it. Now let's come to Psalm 8, and we're going to see another fantastic thing that is absolutely amazing and often overlooked. So let's pick it up here in verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man? That includes woman. And remember, women, the last three letters of the word woman is man, because they came from man. And that's still true. The gene for women must come from the father. Not much had changed, right? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? In other words, God, why did you do all of this with all these human beings? What are you going to do? Say, well, if you really want to know, you get that book, God's Plan for Mankind Revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days, and another book that goes with that, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, because those reveal the secret of God. He makes it known. But there are certain keys for you to understand. Now notice this. This is a fantastic verse, verse 5. For you have made him, that is every single human being, a little lower than God. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? We didn't evolve from slime. We have been made a little lower than God for a great purpose. That's why God wants you to understand His word and His truth, and why were you born? Write for our book, the most vital book that you need. From a speck of dust being conceived, that substance that David talked about, to a son of God, and that includes daughters as well. Why were you born? And why has God caused so many billions of human beings to be born? What is His great and fantastic plan for all of mankind? That's something. So stop and think about it. Your own life, what you're doing, who you are, and think about what God has done for you. And that in Him, even though you yet don't know Him, live and move and have your being. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.